Boy, Ohio State felt that, didn't they? Oh, yeah, they felt that. Oh, man. They were walking around after that game, wondering what the hell happened, saying stuff like, yeah, it's exactly what they were saying. Happy New Year, everybody, especially for those of you down in Miami that are still celebrating, probably haven't even gone to bed yet, who knows, because it's Miami and Miami is Miami. Miami's a different place. If you've never been to Miami, it's a different place. That's one of the great things about the United States. I mean, because not that this has anything to do with anything, but, you know, Miami is different from the swamp. Of course, it's a swamp, obviously, right? It's different from California. It's different from, you know, Chicago. It's different from New York. There's so many unique places. It's, you know, it's its own world. The world today involves the fact that they believe that the U is back after last night. Maybe they are. Wow, what a game. What an interesting game to react to. It is playoff day. A lot of nervous people out there. Got a half a dozen teams that saw what happened last night, and they're like, is that going to be us today? Is it going to be one of them years where suddenly, you know, underdogs are us, so to speak? John Fricke with you for the next 4 hours. We're taking you all the way till 2 o'clock this afternoon. I'll have Noel White for the first half of the show, and then Garrett Chapman will jump in the second half of the show. And, of course, you can always be part of the show if you know how I work here. I've got a lot of questions for you. Coming up in about 16, 17 minutes, if I can roust him out of bed, will be Joe Patrick to talk about the Falcons. And, of course, Swampers, you know, are in. You got the Baghead game, end of the season. We got the Black Monday to talk about. We have the playoffs today to talk about, to react to last night, and to look ahead to tomorrow, because even though there's some bowl games, believe it or not, there's still some bowl games that are left to be played in between the two rounds, between the quarters and the semis. As if anybody cares about bowl games. And I love fans who are arguing about, well, you know, this result makes our league look good. This result makes our league look good. Your league sucks. Our league. I mean, guys, the bowl games don't mean anything. They really don't. I don't know how bowl results. Look at the standings here of how this league is doing. Guys, in this day and age where players opt out and are gone, or coaches are gone and leaving, half the coaches are leaving playoff teams before the playoffs. The head coaches are leaving before playoffs. They're going and taking new jobs. They're stealing those handheld baskets out of like the grocery store, out of the Kroger, because they don't want to pay 10 cents for a bag. I mean, my God. And I find the irony of the whole Lane Kiffin thing, not that this has to do with anything, is he didn't want to pay for a bag, okay? In Louisiana, where bags are us, okay? I'm just saying, of all the places, dude, you got to get with the program, Lane. In Louisiana, everybody owns bags, okay? It's a thing down there. You got to get, all right. So the playoffs are today. Coming up in a couple of hours, we have the Orange Bowl. How tough does it be, it must be, to be an Oregon fan and having to get up? This has to suck, doesn't it? If you're an Oregon fan, the game kicks off at noon. Do you know, it's 9 a.m. in Eugene. It's 9 a.m. in Portland. It's like you're waking up, grabbing a coffee. It's an hour earlier than it is now here. By this time, at 10 in the morning in Portland, it's going to be, you know, mid to second quarter. It's like little kid soccer. If you're a parent, you know, my daughter, who's now, of course, you know, older, she's going to be 30 this year, was playing, you know, back in the day, and she played little kids, you know, 7 and 8 year old soccer, and they play like on Saturday morning, and they have like an 8 o'clock game. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, I'm just trying to wake up, and I got to drive her down, and there's still, it's like early morning golf. There's still, you know, dew on the field, and those kids are running around like, Dad, look at that, you know, I'm so angry, you know, and I'm like, yeah, and they're running up and down the field. That's one thing. It's entirely another to think about, you know, having to hit somebody at that hour in the morning on your body clock. So how's that going to affect Oregon? I mean, their body clock is 9 a.m. They haven't been in Miami for like 2 months. Their body clock is 9 a.m. And they got to start hitting people. Plus, it might rain down there. There's a lot going on. Then, of course, 4 o'clock, we'll have the Rose Bowl, Alabama and Indiana. Beats the hell out of me. Good Bama, bad Bama. Good Bama, bad. I mean, against Oklahoma, we had both in the same game. Who shows up? Yeah, you know, Bama fans can't, you know, maybe good Bama shows up. I am convinced good Bama will show up. Okay. You know, I don't know. That's kind of how that game is going to go. Good Bama, bad Bama. Well, the Big Ten was exposed last night. Maybe. Or maybe Miami just played a great game. Or maybe Ohio State's offensive line, like I told you, when you saw them play really good teams like Texas and Indiana and last night against Miami, that Ohio State's offensive line is only just good. And that Ohio State's offensive line was grossly overrated. And so I said, watch this be. I thought I'd actually be lower scoring than it was. And if you take away the pick six, which was a brilliant play, by the way, it's 17-14. And I'm not trying to make the game closer than it was, but that kind of fits the final score model of the Ohio State beat Texas 14-7, lost to Indiana 13-10. You know, I mean, they were going to play a game. This is not Ohio State racking up 60. And so this is not the same team. Wonder how much fire Ryan Day is under right now in Ohio. Gosh, I got a lot in my mind here. We got a lot to get to over the next 4 hours. You can jump into the program at 404-726-0929. You know, what's your confidence level today? If you're one of the six fan of one of the six teams playing, if you're a Bama fan, if you're a Georgia fan, if you're an Ole Miss fan, everybody's got questions, right? If you're an Indiana, Oregon, Texas Tech fan, everybody's got questions about their team today and how they're going to perform, especially after the template was set last night by the U, which, you know, didn't everybody say Ohio State's going to win? And we had people out there tweeting, Ohio State's the best team in the playoffs. It doesn't matter that they lost to Indiana. They're the odds-on favorite to win it all. They stood up right there. And they got smacked in the face, then hit again and hit again and hit again. And finally, they buckled and went down on a knee and then fell to the mat. That was a knockout blow. Well, you know, Ohio State, John, let them score. You know, it was the only chance they had. Okay, sure. They don't let them score. Yeah, you know, if this is that and candies and nuts, right? How about the fact that there were no flags in the game until the fourth quarter? Not one penalty. You know, notwithstanding the fact that everybody's screaming about the fact that they kept changing the score bug with a yellow thing every down. Stop that. Yeah, how about that? So we can talk about your confidence level today if you want to talk about your team. And I'm very interested to see what your confidence level is. If you're a Miami fan and you want to celebrate, come on in. If you're an Ohio State fan and you want to scream at Ryan Day or whatever, come on in. And let's talk about the portal. The portal is tomorrow. The portal, it's only 2 weeks this year, January 2nd to January 16. There are 1,000 players in the portal. Will we see our first $5 million player? It doesn't help. Well, it helps the quarterbacks, but it doesn't help the schools that are vying to get those quarterbacks. That Miami spent $4.3 million on Carson Beck, and while he really didn't win the game for him, he did what he had to do. He did not lose the game for them yesterday. And so Carson Beck suddenly going to Miami, and everybody's, well, you know, they paid Carson Beck $4.3 million, and look at it. Really, it was more the defensive line, but, you know, Miami's defense really won that game. But set that aside, the fact of the matter is there's Carson Beck. Also, if you're a Georgia fan, you got to worry about this game today, okay? Because I know Georgia fans are jumping it. I even kind of jumped it a little bit because it is intriguing to think that in round two, it could be Carson Beck against Georgia. It could be Carson Beck against Georgia. Then we have Black Monday coming up on Monday. So we got the portal today and the rest of the quarterfinals. Then you got the Bagheads and the end of the NFL season. Then you have Black Monday. What's going to happen on Black Monday? Because if the Falcons are going to make a coaching change, they have to move fast. This is why I argue for a coaching change during the season and why it makes me think that there won't be a coaching change. Because you could have justified getting rid of Raheem Morris at any one of 4 points on the year. As early as the game against Carolina, where we all said, oh, gosh, this isn't going to work, is it? We all said, Carl Dukes and I sat and said, this is not going to work. That early in the year, we went, yeah, this isn't going to work. And then again after the Miami game, again after they lost to Seattle, again after they were eliminated, at any of those points, you could have said, you know, this is not going to work, because we all knew it wasn't going to work. But the problem with the Black Monday thing is, if you had gotten rid of Raheem and installed Ulbrich as your interim coach, you could have done two things. One, you could have found out if Jeff Ulbrich was going to be a serious candidate for the permanent head coach. You could have done that, at which point you wouldn't even be in the market. You would just be saying, you know what, we're going to roll with Ulbrich next year. But you didn't do that. And number two is, if you're going to eye one of the young, your version of Leon Coam, Duval, hey man, Ben's done something, or your version of Ben Johnson, or your version of Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan, that young, hot offensive coordinator, to come in and redo your team, Sean McDermott, whoever, you're going to eye that guy, and that guy is either Clint Kubiak or Joe Brady. I like Todd Monken. Whoever it is that you have your eye on, you have to keep in mind that on Black Monday, there are other teams that are going to be firing their coaches and looking to hire somebody. Now, I don't know exactly how many firings there will be on Black Monday, taking the Falcons out of it, but we know who's under pressure. Zach Taylor in Cincinnati, Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland, Aaron Glenn with the Jets, Jonathan Gannon at Arizona, Mike McDaniel at Miami, Pete Carroll down in Las Vegas. Well, let's bring in a coach. We got to get a coach with a big, long record and been a head coach before. Didn't the Raiders do that with Pete Carroll? Man's got titles and Super Bowls, and he one of the few that has both, right? He's got a national title and a Super Bowl. How do you do in Los Angeles? Oh, they're awful. So it's just the right guy. It has nothing to do with being a former head coach. It's just the right guy. And the Falcons need a guy that can come in and eventually not only lead you, but he's got to turn Michael Penix into something. You know, Ben Johnson turned Caleb Williams into something. Leon Coam is turning Trevor Lawrence into finally being Trevor Lawrence after all these years. And then finally, of course, today we can also, because we have started the conversation, we can continue the conversation that's revolving around Trae Young, because Hawks won last night. Yay! Hawks finally snapped their skid. Jalen went off again, and Trae did not play. The Hawks have not won with Trae, and they've won quite a bit without him. So maybe there's something there. And we all think that it's just time for them to move on. Trade deadline's not for another, January 1st. We get till February 5. So we have about 5 weeks here to the trade deadline. But isn't it, I guess this is like a slow goodbye, isn't it? Noel White is the technical director, executive producer, call screener. Hey, Noel, you got like 19 titles. Happy New Year, Noel.
Happy New Year, John.
You can see it's a busy show today.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah, this is going to be a long goodbye with Trae, isn't it?
It sounds like it. And I'm ready for it, because obviously we're not going to solve any problems until he's off the board. Whether it's him or not, we're not going to look past what anything else is until he's off the board. So let's rip the Band-Aid off and let him go live a fruitful life and let us figure out what we got going on.
You know, plus with the Pelicans pick, and you have two first-rounders this year,
yeah,
you might get a third first-rounder in a trade deal. I mean, you could reinvent your team in what is a good draft. Everybody's saying this is a really solid draft. You'd have three first-rounders in a really solid draft, you could reinvent your team instantly.
Well, that's what we're hoping for, John. We have to have a lot of confidence in the front office that that's what's going to happen, but I'm willing to give them that confidence.
So a lot to talk about with you and I as we head towards this final week of the regular season of the NFL. It is playoff day today. Let's talk playoffs. Let's talk the end of the NFL. It's hate week. We're going to start with the NFL, believe it or not. And I know you're, what do you mean we're going to start with the NFL? Well, because Joe's available, so we're going to get Joe into the program here. We're going to talk to Joe Patrick about Black Monday, about what he's hearing, our reporter in Flowery Branch with his ear to the ground. What's that train sound coming? Is it going to be the firing of Raheem Morris or the extension of this guy? What's going to happen here in the next few days, after, especially in the immediate aftermath of hopefully beating the Bagheads? What's going to happen in Flowery Branch? So we'll get into that, and then we'll open up the phone lines. I says, as I mentioned, our college guy, Garrett Chapman, is going to jump in later in the show. You and I have a lot to talk about on this New Year's Day, live with John Fricke on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. New Year's Day on Sports Radio 92 on the Game from the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you this hour of the show is brought to you by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. With John Foy, you get the strong arm. Joe Patrick, of course, covers the Atlanta Falcons for us in Flowery Branch. A lot to talk about. Final week of the regular season. Falcons aiming to end the season unbeaten as they take on the Bagheads. Joe, welcome back to the program. We're going to talk about Flowery Branch. First off, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, John. Happy New Year.
Before we get into the Atlanta Falcons, an Ohio State Buckeye.
I was going to say, my New Year hasn't been so great so far, but yeah.
Yeah, well, especially not playing on New Year's Eve. You should just, like, not play on New Year's Eve, certainly not have Kenny Stripe field goals on New Year's Eve. I mean, what the hell happened with your team last night, dude?
They couldn't block. They couldn't block Miami's defensive line. Give them credit. I mean, you know, it's kind of amazing. You know, I don't know how much our listeners would know about the previous Ohio State-Miami game, the national championship game that happened in 2002, 2003. But to me, this game almost felt like a carbon copy of that game, except with kind of the roles reversed, where this time it was Ohio State who comes in with all the first-round draft pick names and probably a lot of confidence, maybe overconfidence heading into the game. And then in that game, Ohio State, like, hits them in the mouth. And I remember, like, one of the first plays of that game, Mike Doss, the Ohio State safety, knocks Wilson Gahee backwards, where he probably hadn't been knocked backwards his entire season so far at that point. And that's kind of how this game felt. Like, Miami just came and just hit Ohio State in the mouth, and they didn't know how to quite respond to it. And, you know, I was thinking about it after the game. It's like, yeah, obviously Sayan throws the one pick six, but other than that, I didn't really have gripes with the play calling, which often happens with me when Ohio State loses games, and that was Ryan Day's first time calling plays on offense for the last couple of years. They just got beat. They just got whipped up on. So all credit to Miami for coming in. And I think it's interesting, John, that, you know, now I see the stat that the teams who have had the bye so far in the college football playoff are 0-5. They're yet to win a game if you've gotten that long stretch of time off.
Of course, today we'll get into the whole meat of today and all the games, including Georgia and Alabama and everybody else, a little bit later on. But right now we want to talk about Falcons with Joe. So, Joe, I want to start with a little thing I did the other day on a show. This is yes or no as we sit here right now. That's all it is. You don't have to explain anything. It's just your kind of your gut here. Will they be back next year, yes or no? Kyle Pitts, yes or no?
No.
They won't tag him. I think most everybody's saying yes. I mean, I
hope yes. I'm actually, John, I'm personally to the point where I think that you should consider, I think, beyond a tag, just give him a contract, a full contract. But they'll have to meet the market in order to be able to do that, where you don't necessarily have to meet the market in order to just get that franchise tag you're in. However, having said that, I don't know how much 1 year, bringing Kyle Pitts back for 1 year, helps the Falcons, unless the whole point of the franchise tag is to just trade him away, which he's not going to be on the team.
Kirk Cousins.
No.
Well, they'll wait to post June 1 to save the $25 million, correct?
I would think so, yeah. I would think that they would just designate him as a post-June 1st cut in order to be able to save that money. But yeah, that would be my guess. And they need someone. Ultimately, they're going to need a bridge quarterback to some extent. And Kirk Cousins would kind of fit like what they will be looking for. But it's the fact that he's currently under contract terms is kind of the reason why it has to be anyone but Kirk in this instance for the Falcons specifically. Just because I don't think it's worth, like, the value that he's providing on the field is decent, you know, but it's not nearly commensurate with that amount that you're paying him out, and you're better off, I think, saving that money and building for the future, getting your plan set at the very least.
Terry Fontenot.
Ooh, this is where it gets tough. I will say, it is so tough. I'm going to say no.
He didn't even get credit for it. See, one of the things I said, and I'll stand with, is this is why I think Terry Fontenot is a tough call. I don't know in the meeting, Joe, prior to 2 years ago when they're talking about Belichick and they're talking about Raheem and everybody else that they interviewed, was it Terry Fontenot who convinced Arthur Blank to hire Raheem? Or was it Mr. Blank who said to Terry Fontenot, I want you to hire Raheem? Who's ultimately responsible?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. And that's kind of part of the palace drama, the palace intrigue that happens this time of year, is we just don't know all the information about what has transpired behind the scenes, like that exact situation that you set up in terms of who's responsible for what actions that have, you know, determined success or outcome for the organization. So we're kind of in the dark in that respect. The reason I say no, John, is because of, you know, some conversations I've had with people before the season that basically intimated to me that it was a very clear kind of, you know, yes or no for, I think, probably both Terry and Raheem, but I had that conversation specifically with regard to Terry, where it was kind of like, you know, this team needs to make the playoffs in order for him to keep his job. And the reason I'm conflicted about it now is because what we're seeing as of late, you know, obviously, especially after that Monday night game with Bijan going off and seeing so many of these players play well, Xavier Watts, you know, some of these young players, you do get this impression that this is a talented enough team, which would say that the GM has done his job, but they're not getting in the playoffs because the coaching hasn't been there, which would be the reason why, you know, Raheem would be kind of more on the chopping block, so to speak. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. And, you know, I don't feel great about it, but I'm just kind of leaning back on those, some of those initial conversations that I had with some sources, you know, in last offseason, and relying on my judgment here.
Raheem Morris.
I think no. So it, ultimately what I'm predicting here is a pretty big cleaning of the house. But I think that I just don't know what benefit you get out of keeping him and, you know, potentially just repeating what happened with Dan Quinn, you know, and how that is going to reflect ultimately on the top decision makers led by Arthur Blank and, you know, the executive decision makers. If you just let this story kind of repeat itself, that would look pretty bad. And so I think if you do have a year where you're trying to kind of regroup, especially at the quarterback position, you're trying to figure out what you're doing long term, I think this is the time, honestly, to make that change and get fresh eyes in to, you know, get their hands on this roster and these players and try to do something with them. So, yeah, that's the way I'm leaning. I could be completely wrong here. Obviously, I'm just speculating like everybody else is.
No, I understand. I've explained this many times, that nobody knows what goes on in that office unless the Falcons want everybody to know, because they'll leak it, but otherwise nobody knows. Not even the most, you know, the senior staff, and nobody else knows. To that point about senior staff, Joe Patrick is our Falcons insider. What do you eventually think Matt Ryan's role with the team will be, and would they make a move as soon as tomorrow to announce it, that if they're going to make a change, they're going to point to him and say, you got to pull the trigger?
I think they would announce it relatively soon. again, I've kind of, you know, poked around on this a little bit, you know, in the meantime, since it's been reported and, you know, it's been confirmed basically to me that that this is basically on the verge of happening, which I think is the whole reason why it was at the point where it got leaked to begin with. So I do think it's going to happen. You know, it'll be interesting to see if they, like, if then it's kind of the onus is on him to, you know, it's like you bring in the consultant to do the firings. I don't know if that's, if like, you know, I don't think it should be, frankly, on a new hire to basically, you know, be responsible for,
unless he wants it,
those
to be.
Moves. Could be. Yeah, could be. But
let's talk about what his role is. Do you think he's going to be, if I'm guessing here, Joe, and I don't mean to step on you, I'm just looking at the clock here because I've got something else I want to talk to you. If I'm guessing right now, I think he's going to be the CEO.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I think that it's going to be something like that where, you know, it's going to be very broad-based, I think, like in terms of what areas of the organization he can touch. I know
he's going to be in charge of everything. I think Mr. Blank's going to hand it to him and say, you run the whole thing.
I kind of do, too. And, you know, I think he'll have some help there. You know, like Greg Beadles, obviously the current president, like he's got support that's there. But I think that he's going to have quite a bit of power in the role. And I don't think it's going to be, you know, I think when this news came out, a lot of people jumped like John Lynch in San Francisco, Dan Morgan in Carolina. And I don't think he's going to be a GM like that.
I think he's going to be the boss.
I agree. And I think that he will ultimately be responsible.
Arthur Blank is saying, hey, listen, I need to step aside here. I need to pull a Ted Turner and hire my Stan Kasten, and that's going to be somebody I trust and know, and that's going to be Matt Ryan.
I think Matt Ryan's
not coming to be the offensive coordinator. Matt Ryan's saying, I'll come if you want me to, but I have to run the show.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the reasons why I'm kind of leaning toward them ultimately firing both Terry and Raheem is because that I think that they then want Matt Ryan to be part of the hiring process and be in these rooms to hear out the new candidates for each of those positions.
Final point here as we spend a couple more minutes with Joe Patrick, our Falcons insider. It'll be really interesting. We could talk more about that with you when we open up the phone lines after the break here. Monday is Black Monday. I still don't understand. If you're going to fire Raheem, it's fine. I'm down with that and replace him. But if you're going to do it, you got to do it Black Monday because you start looking at the list. I'm not saying all these guys are going to be gone, but Zach Taylor in Cincinnati, Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland, I just wrote them down. Aaron Glenn with the Jets, Jonathan Gannon with the Cardinals, Pete Carroll in Vegas, Mike McDaniel in Miami. I'm not saying all of them are gone, but we could have a whole host of people on Black Monday. And if Matt Ryan's already said, look, this is who I'm targeting, and he picks a general manager, or he picks a head coach, you know, that he likes, you know, a Clint Kubiak, a Joe Brady, Todd Bunker, whoever he wants to come in here. You can't wait. You just can't wait.
Right. I agree. Yeah, you have to do it right away. And that's the reason why it's Black Monday, you know, because I think every organization is kind of that same opinion where there is no benefit to us kind of dragging our feet in this situation. You got to – honestly, I think a lot of times the decision's been made well before the announcement actually comes down on the Monday. It's happened weeks before the season actually ends. I don't know in this case, where they are in terms of that decision. But you would think that if they're going to make a move, it will absolutely happen on that Monday. And at which point we'll hear, you know, from Arthur Blank, just like, you know, they went through that painful day a couple years ago when they moved on from Arthur Smith. And, you know, as the ownership and the leaders of the organization, you have to address the fan base at that point and set the table for what the direction is going forward. And that's what I would expect if this all kind of comes to pass.
I just want if it comes to pass, I want the coaching search to be far cleaner than it was when they ended up with Raheem. Because it seems no offense, it seems like they settled.
The crop of candidates this year is not as kind of prestigious and hyped up, I guess, as the new head coaching candidates have been in past years. There isn't kind of that sexy offensive coordinator outside of Clint Kubiak. He's probably the most notable.
You don't think Brady is? You don't think Monken is?
I guess you're right. You're right. Joe Brady is. Todd Monken, maybe it depends on the fan base. I would be happy with Todd Monken, but I think there's been questions about can he be more than just an offensive, you know, play caller, play designer, that kind of thing.
But isn't that what you need especially if you're going to go forward?
Yes,
here's a guy that worked with Lamar. You want him to work with Michael?
Yeah, I think in the Falcons' case, I think they need to go with an offensive play caller for a couple of reasons. One, I think because it gives you the opportunity to potentially keep Jeff Ulbrich in the building if you just kind of continue to hand him the keys to the defense.
Assistant
and you need to develop that relationship with a new quarterback.
Right. Jeff Ulbrich, assistant head coach, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Joe, enjoy the games today. Is it with Miami upsetting Ohio State?
I might not even watch. I don't know if I can stand to watch.
Oh, come on. Don't be that dude.
I'm on the Indiana bandwagon. I'll be smoking cigs for Coach Sig today.
Yeah, I don't know. That's such a good Bama, bad Bama. We have no idea who's going to show up,
Yeah,
you know, I was wondering that last night with Miami. I said, are we doing a good Miami, bad Miami? But Carson Beck didn't kill him. So they just said, Carson, hand the ball off. Don't throw interceptions.
Carson Beck play, honestly.
Yeah, well, because he didn't throw any, you know, don't throw picks. You know,
He ran the ball bravely in key moments. He was very good.
Yeah, throw it short, run the ball, don't throw no picks, we'll win the game.
Yep.
You know? Yep. I mean, okay. Yep. Well, Happy New Year, Joe. We'll look forward to, Swamper Sunday here and Black Monday. Should be really interesting.
Should be interesting.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Thanks much, buddy. All right.
All right. Thanks, John.
Joe Patrick, our Falcons insider, as we get ready for the Sunday-Monday big news couple of days here. Well, it could actually be a big news day today or even tomorrow if the Falcons are going to make a move on Matt Ryan. Quick break here, and let's open up the phone lines, 404-726-0929. Your reaction to what we just talked about with Joe and I. Joe says Raheem's out, in his opinion. And then your reaction, too. I need a Bama fan, an Indiana fan, a Georgia fan, an Ole Miss fan, an Oregon fan, a Texas Tech fan. If you're a favorite today, does what happened last night concern you at all? If you're a Georgia fan, how bad do you want to see Carson Beck in round two? If you're a Bama fan, which team is showing up against Indiana today at the Rose Bowl? All that's ahead with John Fricke on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Sports Radio 92 on the game. Do you know Noel who wrote this song?
I believe that was the one and only Bruce Springsteen.
Classic 1970s rock anthem. Performed by Manfred Mann's Earth Band, was written by Bruce Springsteen. And he did a version of it since he wrote it, and his version sucks.
It very much does.
It's awful. The Manfred Mann, that's why he gave it to Manfred Mann. He's like, okay, well, I can't. I wrote it, but I can't perform it. 404-726-0929. Phone lines are open. The way it works on this show, for those of you who don't listen to me on a regular, I like to talk to all of you. It is where I like you to kind of sound off as a fan. I want to talk to fans of all the teams, what happened last night. If you're a Miami fan, you're welcome to come celebrate. If you're an Ohio State fan, you're welcome to come here and get mad. I do think one thing that's kind of interesting about Ohio, they make so much about the Michigan game, about the game. You know, like last year when they won the national title, they lost to Michigan. And so they won the national title, and then they were all mad about the fact that they had lost to Michigan. Well, this year they beat Michigan, but they didn't win the Big Ten, and they get knocked out of the playoffs. I wonder if beating Michigan means you made your season. It would be sort of like the Falcons beating the Bagheads on Sunday. You know, you go 2-0 and unbeaten against the Swampers. Does that make our season? I don't think so. So, I'm trying to diminish your rivalry with Michigan, but maybe you kind of say, look, in this day and age, it's all about one thing, and that's winning a natty, not about beating Michigan. You get all wrapped up in that. We could see, who knows, Georgia-Alabama 3 this year. We don't know. So I'd love to hear from fans of Oregon and Texas Tech. We're about an hour and 15 minutes away from kickoff at the Orange Bowl. Alabama fans, Indiana fans, Ole Miss fans, Georgia fans. Georgia, how bad do you want this? How bad do you want a shot at Carson Beck in the semis? Yeah, maybe pretty bad. And then the portal opens up on Monday. The portal opens up on Friday, Black Monday. Portal opens up tomorrow. And there is a lot of thought that tomorrow when the portal opens, we're going to get our first $5 million man. Brendan Sorsby, DJ Lagway, Josh Hoover, quarterback TCU, Dylan Raiola, there are a whole bunch of quarterbacks. Sam Levitt at Arizona State, a whole bunch of quarterbacks in here. Carson Beck got $4.3 million to go to Miami. And then last night, he didn't win the game for him. He just did not lose the game for them. Yeah, he may, I'm not trying to diminish his role, don't get me wrong. But when he got $4.3 million and got Miami, with that great defensive front, that's what won the game for him. But when they did that, they just said, look, our defense is going to be able to make life miserable for Julian Sain the same way that Indiana's defense did. Just don't give them a short field. Don't ruin the game, okay? And so they paid him $4.3 million, and they're here. They're into the semifinals, which, by the way, big win for the ACC. Then it's all the stuff about Black Monday. Joe Patrick came on this radio station a few minutes ago, our Falcons insider, and says he thinks Raheem is gone. Because I started pressing him a little bit. I think if they're going to hire Matt Ryan, they got to do it today or tomorrow. And look, they say, look, if you really want to be the big boss, Matt, if you want to be the CEO of the team, In other words, Arthur Blank steps aside and says, Matt Ryan is, I have full faith and credit in this man. He is running the show. He is the boss. Greg Beadle's the team president, works for him. He makes all the decisions, scouting department, rosters, GMs. I mean, he consults with them, but he's the boss now. I am the boss. That would be Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's like, I don't want to be no head coach or offensive coordinator. You want me to come back, I got to run the show, which, by the way, I'm good with. So if Matt Ryan comes back in to run the show, then, yeah, you got to hire him today or tomorrow because he's got to be the one that pulls the trigger because ultimately he's going to hire the new coach. And if you're going to pull the trigger on Raheem, you're hiring the new coach. It's like, dude, we're talking about boom, boom. I mean, we're none of this, let's do interviews and drag this out. If you've got your guy, you're firing Raheem on Monday, and bam, that coach is hired on Tuesday. I mean, let's go here. You can't sit around here and go, well, you know, we're going to go through the process, and let's see who is. No, none of that stuff here. You know, especially if Matt Ryan's been talking about this for some time. Let's presume, because he has been for at least a little bit of time, but maybe it's been longer. Maybe it's been since they were eliminated. Maybe it's been since middle of the season. Maybe they've been making plans in place so that he could just jump in with both feet. Maybe he's kind of been behind the scenes doing that already. Now they're just going to announce it formally that he's introduced as. Because I think you got to hit the ground running. And there's no turning back here. Because you cannot afford to make a mistake on your next hiring of a head coach. Dan Quinn was not a mistake as a hiring of a head coach. He just wasn't. He took this team to a Super Bowl and almost right back the next year, almost went right back to the Super Bowl even after 28-3 and all that disappointment. The problem with Dan Quinn is they just hung on to him too long. And then Arthur Smith was given really nothing. I mean, salary cap hell, and here comes Terry Funk. Raheem was like, it's almost like they just settled on Raheem because they couldn't get who they wanted. But this has been going kind of step by step, downhill, 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 and it's time for them, if they've got their Liam Cohen, their McVay, their Shanahan, their Ben Johnson, if they've got that guy, then there's no reason to sit around and play candy foot with this, because a lot of coaches out there, especially offensive coaches, are going to look at the Atlanta Falcons and go, I got Bijan Robinson, I got Drake London, I got, you know, are you bringing Kyle Pitts back? I have toys I can play with on this offense. I got Chris Lindstrom. I could have some fun with this, right? And then you have to make a decision on the players moving forward after that. What does the coach want? What kind of offense does he want to install and all that kind of stuff? 404-726-0929. Let's go to the waitfor.com hotline. If you're on hold, stay there. I promise you'll get on the air. Hey, Banks, welcome to the show. Yo, Banks.
I'm here.
All right.
I'm here. Yep, I'm here. I do not agree that Coach Ry is going anywhere. It doesn't make sense to let go of him like this. We're not going to get anybody in here if we keep churning through coaches like this. And personally, I don't recall people having the knives out for Coach FedEx McNepo baby like this after 3 years when he stunk up the joint. Furthermore,
they only gave him 3 years. But go back to this. I'm just probing here a little bit because I'm curious about your kind of thought process here. You said that, what was it about, keep churning through, what difference does that make? This isn't college. We're not recruiting. It makes no difference.
Nobody's going to want to come here if we keep churning through coaches after 2 years, because you're not going to get in there and institute what you want to do. People talking about, like, Fontenot and Coach Ra like this package deal. You can't denigrate Fontenot like this and then turn around and praise Bijan and Xavier Watts.
No, I'm with you. That was not my opinion here. Hang on. Whoa, not my opinion. I agree with you. I think Terry Fontenot's done a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
But, fair. I mean, as to churning through coaches, I don't think that matters one whit.
You got to give people time to implement their program.
No, this isn't college football. You win now. Ben Johnson went from the Lions to the Bears, took over the Bears, and took them straight to the top. Liam Cohen, Duval, left the Panthers and turned Jacksonville around. No, this isn't college. We don't have to recruit. We don't have to develop players. We're not in the business of developing players here. We're in the business of having players win. This is a different game. I understand that as a college rule, yes. In the NFL, no. You just go in and change things immediately. To me,
I think even in the pros, you still got to give people a chance to implement their program. But
I think you gave Rod 2 years, and it didn't work.
Yeah, I mean, hey, well, let's move on to Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan was great. He was a stalwart here. His best ability was his availability. But I don't know how much of a front office guy here is. And I think it's kind of a bit of a leap to assume that just because he was, our best quarterback, that he's just going to be some front office mastermind. And to hand the keys over to him automatically like that is just weird to me.
Well, I think he knows the franchise inside and out. I think he's certainly aware of all the people in the NFL that could work with a young quarterback, and I don't necessarily have a problem with it. I understand what you're saying, though, and who knows how it does eventually work out. Sometimes it has worked out, sometimes it hasn't, but, most of the people in management roles in the NFL are former players, so, I think that, I'm okay with I'm fine with it, but I understand you're it's okay to have, this is a word the Swampers wouldn't understand, Banks, trepidation, because given our history here, so I'm with you.
Yeah.
I understand that why people would be like, curious, you want an NFL executive to come in here who's got, previous experience, and okay,
right.
It's fine. So I understand that, but we've tried that, haven't we? And it didn't work. You want previous experience? Let's keep Rich McKay. He's got a ton of it.
Yeah, Rich McKay's connected. He's been in the league for a while.
Like 50 years.
right. So, I like Matt Ryan. I just don't want to assume that automatically he's just going to be this front office mastermind.
Well, all he has to do is he has to be the guy that just hires the guy. Mm-hmm. He's got to be the guy that hires a guy. And so that's, you're bringing Ryan in here to basically, if you're going to fire Raheem, and Ryan's been talking about, look, this is the way you got to go. And then you get the new coach in here. Ryan's not going to micromanage. I would hope not. If he wants to micromanage, he should just become the head coach.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of that. Not yet.
All right, appreciate it, Banks. Happy New Year, brother. Quick break here, top of the hour. When we get back, Brad, Will, Tito, all want to jump in here. Black Monday coming up. What's going to happen with the Atlanta Falcons? It is playoff day in college football. The portal is tomorrow. There's a ton going on. The whole Trey rumors are smoke and fire things. All right, it's all ahead as we go into an 11 o'clock hour headed towards playoffs. How nervous are you, Georgia fans, right now going up against Ole Miss on Sports Radio 92 on the game?